And I just filter and then I put your name in and then I go to the...
So we're up to Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph. And the last thing we discussed was the Mishnah. And now we're up to the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Tana Rabbanan. Do you have the place? Just again, to summarize, you know, what we learned in the Mishnah.
No, you just finished this year.
I took some of my tea, so it wasn't hot, but...
And I didn't see anything.
Hot tea, you know. No, I'm just kidding. So again, just, Brian, let's get started. So in order to summarize the Mishnah, we're going to say the following. We're up to the second cuss. We recited Kiddush on the first cuss. And now with regard to the second cuss, we're ready for Magid. And the Ben should be asking his questions. If the Ben doesn't ask the questions, he doesn't have that intelligence level, then the father should try to stimulate and lead him to ask the questions. And the Braisa that we want to start with says the following. Tana Rabbanan, Chacham Bino Sho'alo. If his son is an intelligent, mature individual, then he will raise the question. He sees and he observes all these strange things are going on this night, and he asks the question, Manishtan. Last time we discussed that Manishtan is really one question that has four parts to it. All the four parts are indicating that tonight is different than other nights. There's a Kedusha Sayom, a sanctity on this night that is unsurpassed. There's nothing to equate to it. It has mitzvahs coming out of your gazoo here. And that indicates Kiddush Sayom is always measured by mitzvahs. On this night we have so many different mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of morah, which Bizmana says the Rabbanon. We have the mitzvah of Heseba, which is Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim. Akiras HaShulchan. We have a mitzvah of Shnei Tibulim. And we have a mitzvah of Heseba. We have all these many, many different mitzvahs. So Manishtana, why is this night granted, endowed with a sanctity that was the essence of the Manishtana? The second part of the Mishnah addresses the Sipur itself, and the Sipur should be fulfilled by Maschil Bignus Umesayim Bishvach. And we're going to have a machlokas here in a few minutes about what that means. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, as we saw last time, with Arami Oved Ofi. So Tana Rabban, Chacham Bino, if he looks out, and his son is a Chacham, Sholo, Bino Sholo, his son will ask the questions, why is this night different? V'im Eino Chacham, if the child is not capable of asking these questions, Ishto Sholo, so let his wife ask him the questions. V'im Lav, and if that's not an option either, Hu Sholo Yatzmo. In other words, there's a separate halacha in Sipritis Mitzrayim that it has to be Bederech She'ela Utshuva. It's got to be questions and answers. And Rabosai, this is a very essential principle in Talmud Torah. That whenever we study Torah, we should always ask a question and give the answer. It doesn't mean that necessarily the student has to ask the question. If the student asks the question, that's great. But if not, the Rebbe should ask the question. And as he's teaching Torah, by asking the question, he gets the students and himself focused on the issue. It becomes so much more meaningful and so much more dramatic when the Torah is presented as an answer to a question. I would go even a step further. We should ask more than one question, because the more questions that we ask, the more meaningful and profound of an impression that we get from the answer. If the answer breaks new ground and puts everything into perspective, we walk out and we're excited. And it's a memory device as well. You know, we had all these questions and now we have one answer that answers up all the questions. So, She'ela Utshuva is the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim insofar as that mitzvah is Talmud Torah. The Rambam adds a few words here. The Rambam says, Lefi Daito Shel Ben Aviv Malamdo. And I mentioned this to you in the past, that the teaching experience, especially with regard to Vigadat to Labincha on the Leil HaPesach, has to be tailor-made, custom-made for the child. The Rambam gives examples. The Rambam says if you have a servant that's working for you, then when you get to Avodim Ayinu and you want to tell the child we were Avodim, you could actually point to the slave and say, this is a slave. And that's what we were all about. Hopefully he treats the slaves better than the Egyptians treated the Jews. Fine. V'afilu shnei talmidei chachamim. Imagine we have two scholars sitting at the same Seder table. Sheyodim ilchas ha-Pesach. They really know the halachas of Pesach. You can test them on it. They'll ace the exam. Sholim zelazeh. They should still raise the question. Manish tanah alayla azeh mikol lelos. Again, emphasizing that the way we fulfill this mitzvah is b'derech she'ela u'tshuva.
Except we don't ever answer the questions, do we?
The answer to the question is that this is the night of Geula. And if this is the night of Geula, it is endowed with a sanctity that goes beyond any other day or any other night in the Jewish calendar year. We don't realize, we don't appreciate what Geula is all about. Geula is not just a communal experience of redemption. It's not just as, you know, on the, I don't know if any of you guys know about this, on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, it says, Ukrasem Dror Ba'aretz.
What, it says in Hebrew?
I'm not sure if it's in Hebrew, but it's definitely in English. Okay. But you should know, the founding fathers knew Hebrew. The Brits, some of the British knew Hebrew, either Christian Brits. Anyway, so it means Ukrasem Dror Ba'aretz, that's on a communal level. But the Geula of Mitzrayim represents the individual level. There's no other day in the entire calendar year which commemorates Geula. That is the night of Pesach. And all the mitzvahs halayla, whatever they are, have to be connected to that experience of Geula. Chayv adam liros es atzmo. He has to see himself as going through a personal experience of Geula. And that's what the night is all about. Now, Rava is not a happy camper. Maskif le Rava, otu kol yoma lo sagi de la... Okay. The first of the four questions, if we go back to the Mishnah, is Shebechale los anu ochlim sha'ar yirakos. Correct? Mm-hmm. So Rava says... Did I skip something?
That's not the first question, is it?
I don't remember if it's the first or the second... The second of the questions, right? Am I right? It's just number two?
The second.
Okay. I really wasn't interested in what number. I just threw out, you know, without thinking. But Rava says that question is a little bit strange. Atu kol yoma lo sagi de lo mitvah l'chad zimna? Right? He says that there's a tibul... Oh, you know what? And now I really made a boo-boo. I'm sorry. It's the fourth of the questions. Sorry. Fourth of the questions. Let's read the fourth question. So Rava says, what does that mean? Don't we have tibul at least once during the entire year? And the lashon of the Mishnah, einanu matbilim, sounds like we have no relationship at all to Tibul. Unless you can introduce the element, as Rava will say in a minute, that there's no Chiyuv Tibul. But to say just simply, we don't have a Tibul on the other nights of the year, well, it was quite common, at least back in the day, and probably even in our time, to take a vegetable and put it into Rotev. You know, you have a salad dressing or so forth. Ella Amar Rava, this is after sort of revamp the Mishnah. You know, you have to update the text of the Mishnah. Shebechal alelos ein anu chayavim litbol.
Oh, it's not about the minhag, it's about the chiyuv.
Say it again?
It's not the minhag that we dafka, it's about the chiyuv. That's what the Mishnah means? There's no chiyuv.
Yeah, we never had a chiyuv. In other words, when we sit down to a meal, you're not going to tell me that the halacha requires a tibul, that I take out a yerek and dip it into a mashke. Afilu pa'am achas, even on one occasion, Allah says, shtei pa'amim, tonight we have a chiyuv, a mitzvah, if you will. Not just once, but twice, to do tibul of yirakos. So Maskif lo Rav Safra accepts Rava's problem But he doesn't accept Rava's solution. Because Rava's solution indicates that on this night, we have a chiyuv of two tibulim. That's not really accurate. Why? Chiyuva, is this really, he's referring to the first tibul. The second tibul is an absolute obligation. That's a mitzvah of tibul in which we dip the maror into charoses. But the first tibul is not a chiyuv at all. It's not a mitzvah. But rather, lidardiki, it's only to stimulate the curiosity of the children. And that's just a means to an end. It's a technicality. We do something strange. And again, we do something strange in order to get that bracha on a yerek, a bar pri adama, but it's very strange to take a yerek and dip it in before you start the meal. So to say that we have a chiyuv of not only one tibul but two tibulim, that's not precise. That's not accurate. The first tibul is not a mitzvah; it's a heker. For example, we would never even entertain the possibility that you'd recite Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosu V'Tzivanu on the first tibul, but we do recite Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosu V'Tzivanu on the second tibul. Elomar Rav Safra, Rav Safra wants to offer an amendation to the Mishnah in a slightly different way. Hachik Tani, this is what the Mishnah should read. Ein anu matbilim afilu pam achas. In other words, it's not an obligation to do the first tibul, one tibul, nor is it generally done before the meal. But halayla zeh shtei pa'amim. So what he omits here is the word chiyuv, because if you're going to tell me with regard to the first tibul ain anu chayovim, and then you're going to say halayla zeh shtei pa'amim, you're implying that in contrast to the rest of the year tonight we have a double chiyuv, two tibulim, and that's not so. But just simply say ain anu matbilim afilu pa'amachas, not ain anu chayovim afilu pa'amachas, but that we don't do tibul. But by omitting the word chayovim, it allows us to say shtei pa'amim, that tonight we have two tibulim. It doesn't mean that these two tibulim are chiyuvim, because we left out the word chiyuv.
The bracha is not on the tibul. Bracha is just on the maror.
Well, the word tibul here in the Mishnah, I don't know if you were here when we discussed this, yeah, is not just the dipping. The tibul includes everything that culminates in the achila. That's in the Mishnayic Hebrew. We quoted sources for that. We use the word tibul just as dipping, but the word tibul has many different dimensions to it. Maskil begnusu mesayim b'shvach. This is perhaps the most important and well known machlokes with regard to the Leil HaSeder. We had a discussion about which two kosos of the four require hesaber. You remember that? And now meaning is to require saber biyotze both shittas on all four kosos. That was a pretty important machlokas. But this one, I would say, is even more important, because it really gets down to the root of what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. The Mishnah says, maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. But the Mishnah doesn't stipulate what exactly is considered gnus, my gnus. Rav Omar, this is again Shmuel, mitchila ovdei avodas kochavim, or gilulim, hayu avoseinu. In other words, Terach, already the father of Avram, was worshipping idols. So it's funny, if you go back to your heritage, you know, back to your ancestors, then you can go as far back as, at least on a, let's call it a DNA level, you know, on a biological level, we can go back to Terach. I mean, I if I met Terach, I would not consider him my great-grandfather. But that's called the Rambam adds that even Avram Avinu was worshipping idols in his youth. So when it says Ovdei Avodas Galilim Hayovoseinu, this is a reference to Avram Avinu. Again, I don't know if Avram Avinu was my forefather at the time that he was worshipping an idol, because he underwent an entire transformation of his personality when he accepted monotheism. Now, what's the Messiah B'Shvach over here? You know, the Gemara only addresses itself to Maschil B'Gnus. The Messiah B'Shvach here, the Rambam fills in, is Achshav Kirvanu Amokum Lavodaso. In other words, this transition from Ovdei Avodah Zarah takes us all the way to Matan Torah. And it's really fascinating that the concept of Matan Torah, of Kabbalas HaTorah, is intrinsically related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because already at the snare, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim in order that you receive the Torah Bahar HaZeh Bahar Choreb. So the culmination, and that's why Pesach is so deeply connected to Shavuos, the culmination of the Geula process is with Kabbalas HaTorah. That's what the Ramban, in his introduction to Sefer Shmos, says that the first half of the book of Shmos is the Sefer HaGeula that takes us from Avdus to Chirus to Kabbalas HaTorah. The second half of the book is the extension of Geula, or the completion of Geula, by building what? The Mishkan. So this is all Rav's perspective. Shmuel Omar, no, what is the Gnus? The Gnus is really suffering and slavery. It's not the spiritual Gnus of Rav that takes us back to Avodas Kochamim, but rather Avodim Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. And then the Messiah B'Shvach is going to be Hotzionu B'Mitzrayim L'Cherus B'Yad Chazok V'Zor Netuya. So
it's a bit more contracted than Rav. It's not going from the...
Well, if I were to ask you what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel in just using two words, Rav gets one word and Shmuel gets another word. Exactly. Is it spiritual or is it physical? Rav wants to go back to the spiritual Gnus. And therefore the perspective of Rav is broader. The Rishonim say that Rav also agrees to Shmuel that we have to start with Avodim Ayinu, but Rav thinks we start even before Avodim Ayinu by introducing the spiritual experience of Geula. The spiritual experience has to be a Maschil B'Gnus, in which we begin as idol worshippers, and finally we reach Kirvonu HaMokom LaAvodoso. And then we go on to the physical element. Shmuel thinks that the mitzvah Sipiyatzis Mitzrayim exhausts itself in the physical element, the slavery, we can call it legal slavery, so to speak, in which the mitzvah owned us as slaves, and all the suffering that we experience. And then the shvach is going to be Hotzionu Mitzrayim. We went from Avdus to Chirus. Our minhag is to combine both shitos together. We don't lose anything. Shmuel would say, you know, you're adding extraneous information, but it's not, you know, it's not totally irrelevant. It's not doesn't undermine the mitzvah. It's just irrelevant to the mitzvah. But Rav holds it's a very fundamental backbone to the mitzvah. And I think there are so many indications that from the Haggadah itself, that we accept Rav Shita, you know, hook, line, and sinker. That tonight we're going to be focused not just on a liberation of slaves. You know, every nation on the face of the earth could celebrate liberation from slavery. The United States of America went through a civil war. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 700 or 600,000 Americans died over the issue of slavery in America. But what's unique about our experience of Geula is that it's a spiritual experience. And that's why, if you remember, we say in the Haggadah, Ilu lo hotzi shor mishvah, avodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim. So obviously something changed. There was an absolute transformation in the Jewish people. We became B'nai Chorin. And that status as B'nai Chorin changes us metaphysically in our very makeup, in our very essence. Omar Rav Nachman Lidoro Avdei, Rav Nachman asked his trustworthy slave, his name was Doro, a question. After the Mapik Leimora L'Cherus, what would the Eved respond to his master if his master decided gratuitously just to set free him from his slavery? And not only that, not only did he free him, but Yoiv le Kaspa Udahava, and he showers upon him silver and gold. My boy Lumemarle, what should this servant respond? Omole Boilo Duyelishvuche, he has to express his gratitude and praise his master for doing so. And all this is a mashal to what Yitzias Abdus L'Cheres is all about. Because not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu free us as slaves from the Mitzrayim, but he also showered upon us Kesev Vizov. And when Rav Nachman heard this response from his Eved, Omar Leh, he tells the Eved, Patrasan Milomer Manishtana. You have exempted us from the need to recite Manishtana. Because you have given us, Manishtana is only a means to an end, but you've given us the end even without going through the four questions. You've already indicated what is our celebration tonight, what is our obligation tonight on Leil HaPesach. It's a combination of two elements, and that is Shvach and Hodoya, or Hodoya and Shvach. And therefore, Pasach the Omar Avodim Hayim. Immediately, after hearing this answer of Nachman, got straight to the post, Manishtana section, and he gave him the Pasuk of Avodim Hayim. Let me just read to you the whole Pasuk. I have it here in this edition of my Gemara. He fills in the Ki yishalcha bincha machar limar ma edus vachukim ha-mishpatu shatziv Hashem alkeinu eschem v'yamartu lebincha avodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim v'yotzienu Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yod chazaka. And Rabosai, it would sound from this pasuk, and especially the way Rav Nachman responded to his Eved, that whose sheet is correct? Did you hear the pasuk? Again, I'll read it again. Ki yishalcha bincha lemar. Your son asks you the question. What is all these edus and chukim mishpatim? Very intelligent chacham. He divides up all the minhagim of Leil Seder into different categories. Edus, chukim, mishpatim. You know, there's a haggadah, the Malvim. There are millions of haggadahs, but the Malvim's haggadah is special because he really gives you an insight into the words of the haggadah. And then, what do you say to him? So whose sheet is that?
Shmuel.
Shmuel. That's Shmuel, not like Rav. There is no indication here whatsoever that he goes back in history to the Avodah Zarah period of our ancestors. So Rav is apparently adding a whole new dimension to Sipyut Yisrael that's not, shall I say, explicit in the Pesukim. Okay, now we get to the famous Mishnah of Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel ayo omer kol shelo omar shloshet varm elu bepesach lo yotze yidei chovasam v'yelu ein pesach matzu mora. And here we're on the top of Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Beis. We have a tremendous machlokas here what Rav Gamliel had in mind when he said lo yotze yidei chovasam. Which chova? You know, the vav at the end of chovasam is a pronoun. And boy, do we hate pronouns, because language has pronouns and we never know exactly what is the real meaning when you use a pronoun. In marriage, that's the key to successful communication. If you leave out pronouns, as soon as you have pronouns, she thinks you mean one thing, he thinks you mean another thing. So what's lo yotzi yidei chovaso? He hasn't fulfilled his obligation. What obligation? So there are two shitas here. The less radical sheet is that he hasn't fulfilled his obligation of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. That means that Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim requires that you describe the meaning and the message of each of the mitzvahs achila. So we have three mitzvahs achila on this night. We have Pesach, Matzah, Morah. And Sipur requires talking about these mitzvahs and extracting the conceptual Sipur element in these three mitzvahs. However, the Marsha claims that there's another shita here, maybe it's the Rif shita, and that is Lo Yotzi Yedei Pesach Matzu Morah. That's pretty wild. The Torah says you have to eat Pesach, you have to eat Matzah, you have to eat Morah. Torah doesn't say that you have to speak about them. Comes along with Rav Gamliel and he says there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. It's not enough that you eat the Pesach as a mechanical act. You also have to describe the Pesach and its meaning. And if you don't do so, then when you go ahead and eat the Pesach before this description, you don't really fulfill your mitzvah. Again, you have the technical, mechanical Maisach Chila, but not beyond that. You know, Pesach is a mitzvah that is embellished with Kavana. It's not just a technical achila. In fact, the Gemara has a suffix whether or not he's yotze the mitzvah of Pesach if he eats the Pesach achila gasa, which means shalol l'shem mitzvah l'shem hanah. And Pesach al shum sheposach hamokom al botei avoseinu b'mitzrayim. Interesting how Makas Bechoros plays such a major role in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We are praising Hashem on this night for the salvation He offered for the Bechoros of Klal Yisrael and the destruction of the Bechoros of Mitzrayim. Shenemar v'amartem zevach Pesach hu Hashem. The Torah is very explicit in the case of Pesach, telling us that you have to speak about the Zevach Pesach. Now, I would have said, if Amartim Zevach Pesach Hu Hashem, if I only had those words in the Pesach, I would say that that requires Kavana, that you have to designate this Pesach for Hashem, for the mitzvah of Pesach. Don't just eat the meat because it's a good piece of roast meat. But look at the next part of the Pesach, which is not explicit in the Gemara. The Pesach says, Asher Pesach Al Botei Bnei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. That the word Pesach indicates not the destruction of the Bechoros of Mitzrayim, but rather the salvation of Bnei Yisrael, the Bechoros of Bnei Yisrael. And Michael, you'll give me the answer to this question, hopefully. What minhag do we have that indicates that the Bechoros have to be worried about the salvation that they need?
Tainus
Bechoros. Exactly, Tainus Bechoros. The reason why the Bechoros fast on Erev Pesach, again, they go to a Siyam and they do the easy way out, is because they have to fast, just like the people in Shushan fasted before the salvation, after the decree of Haman. So, every Bechor was in a very vicarious situation and his life was in danger. Again, you have to know whether the Mashkof and the Dam, that would have been enough. I'm not going into that. That's a whole long discussion. Whether you needed a merit together with the Dam on the Mashkof.
Does he ever say that anywhere?
That you need a merit? I think there's sources for that. That the external act of putting the Dam is only like Vidui, but you still need a Tshuva Shebelev. Matzah al shum shenigalu avoseinu Mitzrayim. Bechipazon, I'm adding here, that's why the matzah didn't rise, so it wasn't bread. And it never came to chimutz. Shenemar vayofu es habotzeik asher hotziyal mitzrayim. The next part of the pasuk is ugos matzos, ki lo chametz, ki garshu b'mitzrayim v'lo yochlu esmamea. So they had to get on the move, they didn't have time for the bread to rise. And all this is indicated in the pasuk about matzah. Moru al shum shemoru hamitzrim eschayav usenu b'mitzrayim shenemar vayomoru eschayev avodakasha bechomer b'lveinu b'chol avodah basada. Now this would be fascinating, Rabbosai. What would be if a person ate matzah and he did not recite Rabbi Gamliel's dictum of al shem shenigalu avosenu b'mitzrayim? According to the Marsha, he would have to eat the matzah again. It's a pella of a chiddush. Now, I wouldn't say that he's not yotzei part of the mitzvah. As I said before, the mechanical act of achila he has. But Rabbi Gamliel adds another dimension. It's almost as if every one of the achilas halayla has within it a sipur. So this, when we fulfill a mitzvah, it's either a mitzvah shebedibur or a mitzvah shebemaisa. In the case of these three mitzvahs,
they're both.
Exactly, Rabbi Gamliel sees it as an overlap of both. It's a sipur which requires a dibur, so it's a mitzvah shem a dibur, plus it's a mitzvah shem a maisa requiring an achila. And if one of the two is missing, you don't have the complete mitzvah.
Yeah,
correct. I would still say that, you can obtain one of the two kiyumim, but this is a kiyum of matzah. And you know what? Haseba fits beautifully into Rabbi Gamliel's perspective, because if you go with the Marsha, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you need to link up the matzah with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, then maybe the Haseba is another facet, another expression of linking up the achila of matzah with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. B'chol dar v'dar chayav adam. What's the next word? What do you have in your text? Lirot et atzmo. The Rambam has a different gear. So the Rambam says laharos es atzmo. Ki ilu hu. And here the Rambam adds atzmo yotza mimitzrayim.
That makes sense what you said before, that shelam tshuva, you have to do all this interaction all the time.
Right, and you have to reach this frenzy, this state of emotional frenzy, where you feel that you yourself left Mitzrayim. Well, I mean, I wasn't in Mitzrayim. Again, if we didn't go out of Mitzrayim, then I... And again, according to Rav, we're talking about the spiritual, of the pedus nefesh of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this is quite a heavy requirement. I wonder how many people reach this level in which they see themselves as going out of Mitzrayim. And the Rambam says you have to demonstrate it. Shenever migadet ol bincha bayom olaymor bavur ze os Hashem li v'tzeisi Mitzrayim. The main thing is li. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu not taking out his Mitzrayim, then arei anu bonenu bnei bonenu mishubadim ayinu l'far Mitzrayim. Lefichach anachnu chayovim lahodos lahalel l'shabech l'far l'romim l'hader l'varech l'alel l'kalei. So let's just count that. The Gaon makes a big deal about this. What?
15.
Is it 15?
It's supposed to be.
One second, let me just see. I don't think it's 15. One second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think the magic number here is 7. Or Yishtabach maybe is 15. Can I get the milus of the getting up to the har? And the Gaon has a whole shot here on the number 7. I don't remember what he says. I was hoping I would find it here in one of the notes. I did not find it, so that's an outstanding debt that I have to you. And then take a look at the lashon here of Chazal. L'misha osa lavosenu vilanu. It's called Anisim Eilu. That's good. The Lanu, because again, Chayav Adam Liros is Atzmo, right? Osa Hashem Bavur Zeh, Osa Hashem Libet Seisi Mitzrayim. And then look what he spells out. He says, "Hotziyonu mi avdus lecherus, mi yagon lesimcha, ume evel liyom tov, me afelu lor gadol mishiva legula." And here I think we have 5. Am I right? Let's count it up. Avdus lecherus is 1. Yagon lesimcha is 2. Evel liyom tov is 3. Afelu lor gadol is 4. And avdus lecherus is 5. Oh, yagon lesimcha is 6. Wait a minute. I'm reading the same thing twice, sorry. Mishibud l'gu'ula. So it's 5, am I right? No, check me out.
It's 5.
The Nomer Lefon of Haluka. Now, the Brisker Rav, and he doesn't quote this, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach called the Beis Halev, which I have here on my table, asks the following question. He expected that the Shevach, the praise that we give to Hashem, should be uniform in its structure. And he says it's anything but that. What does he mean? He asks the following question. When you talk about Avdus, then there's something called the termination of Avdus. When you talk about somebody being a Ben Chorin, that already is another Madrega. That's his chiddush. Why does he come up with this chiddush? And what does it mean? He asks the following question.
If you Ben Chorin the same, as soon as you come out of that, you go to Ben Chorin.
So we'll get to that in just a second. I sort of messed up the sequence in which I wanted to present his chiddush. The sequence is the following. Let's get back to Avdus L'Cheris in just a minute. What's miyagon? Yagon is a sense of anguish. You can terminate a state of anguish without getting to a state of simcha. Miyagon with simcha means going from one extreme to the other. It's not just that you end up in the middle in some neutral zone, but you get a big positive mila. Well, for example, when you leave Avelus, when Avelus terminates, okay, you're no longer an Avel. No. May Avel li yom tov. Yom Tov is already a positive milah. Me'afela li'ar gadol. It doesn't just say me'afela li'ar, it says ar gadol. So the Brisker Rav says, you see here clearly in 3 out of 5, without a doubt, the pattern is not just the cessation of something negative, but to arrive at something positive. So therefore, the Brisker Rav assumes that Avdus L'Cherus is not just the termination of Avdus, but Cherus means something beyond. It's a milo. And for that matter, Shibud is not just the termination of Shibud, but Geula is a new positive state of being. And in order to embellish this, he quotes a very famous statement in Chazal, Ezehu ben Chorin. Chazal say, who's considered a ben Chorin? Zesha Oseik but Torah, because the pasuk says, Chorus al aluchos, I'll tukrate Chorus al acherus. What is a ben Chorin? A ben Chorin, from the perspective of the Haggadah, is an individual who can never ever become an Eved again. Not in a juridic legal sense. Obviously, a person could be freed and liberated as a slave, but tomorrow somebody may come along and again be mishabed him, you know, force him to be a slave. But emotionally, or shall we say psychologically, existentially, he's a ben chorin, a whole new personality. And no matter how much they beat him up and how much they subjugate him and enslave him, he still remains a ben chorin, because ben chorin is a spiritual quality, a state of being that defines his new essence. The same is true for geula. Geula is not just the termination of enslavement, but geula is to become a nigal. A nigal is someone who has a new status. And that's why v'nomar lefon of hallelujah, because of these five experiences in which we add a whole new dimension, then we're thanking Hashem not just for terminating and liberating us as slaves, but for all this, you know, this simcha and this yantif and the argadol and the geula being a nigal and the cheres of being a ben chorin. That's why we're going to say hallelujah. Hallelujah is a word that is reserved for a spiritual redemption, an existential redemption, a change in personality.
Based on the three things that you mentioned before, so the other two, they can also not be purely technical, they're beyond technical.
They're not just the cessation of something negative, but they're adding a new mila in a positive sense. Because otherwise there's no uniformity here in the five. Mm-hmm. The opening and the closing seem to be totally out of place. Because you're talking about the cessation of Avdus and Shibud. And that's not the flavor of this hallelujah here, of this hallel. And the answer is that Cherus is a new state of being, which is much more than the absence or the termination of Avdus. And when a person becomes a Nigal, then he's obligated in Shira. The Shira, the song of praise on this night, is a spontaneous song of praise that comes from within as a result of the status of a person as a Nigal. The change in his very personality. Now he begins the first part of Hallel. And he has a footnote here which I was disappointed in. Why do we say only the first half of Hallel? There's going to be Machlokas, Shin Beis Hil, Beit Shammai, exactly how much at this point we should be reciting of Hallel, whether it's one chapter or two chapters. And we split, and the second part of Hallel was left and postponed until we get to the third cuss of Yayin, which is the Birkas HaMazon. And then right after Birkas HaMazon, we finish up the Hallel. So why is there a split? So he gives a very technical, dry answer. He says, because we need a Shevach on each one of the four Kosos. In the case of the first Kos, we have the Shevach of Kiddush. In the case of the third Kos, we have the Shevach of Birkas HaMazon. But there's no Shevach on the second and fourth Kosos. Therefore, they each have to be connected to Hallel. And if you have two Kosos, each of which has to be connected to Hallel, we're going to split the Hallel into two. That's a wonderful shot, but it really doesn't answer the question. Why do we split the Hallel into two? And that's what I said before, yes? Correct, that one is on the Gula L'Sha'avar, and the other is on the Gula L'Asid. And in fact, the entire subject of the fourth Kus of Yayin, which is the Kus of Nirtza, is all about the ultimate Geula. Correct. The Maral says that you begin the fourth Kus by raising the cup and reciting Shvoch HaMoschal HaGoyim. That's the kickoff of the Geula. And Chazal tell us that the responsibility, the goal of Mashiach is first of all to get rid of Amalek. And Amalek really symbolizes all the haters of the Jews, all the adversaries of the Jewish people. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, at this point Rabbi Tarfon says that, oh I'm sorry, I skipped. So at Heichanu Omer, how much of the Hallel should he recite? Beishamai Omrim, only the first chapter of Hallel, which is called Betzeis, right? No, I'm sorry. Halua Luka Avdei Hashem. Meaning, what happened at this point in time, if we go back to the original Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was a two-part process. The first part was a termination of Avdus. When did that happen? Immediately after Makas Bechoros. Paro was looking for Moshe and Aaron to get them to stop the destruction, the devastation of Makas Bechoros. And finally, when he knocked on their doors and he woke them up. I don't know, you don't have to take me literally on that, but he said to them, "You gotta terminate this Makkah." So the Medrash says that at that point, Moshe says to Paro, "Emar me'ata, you have to declare them, make this declaration, Hare atem b'nei chorin, that you're no longer slaves." On a juridic level, on a legal level, that's of course avdus. And that's the termination of Avdus. That's the first stage. It's going to be way later on that we leave Mitzrayim. Not even the same night. It's going to be the next morning. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So Beit Shammai say that the second paragraph of Hallel, which is B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, is inappropriate. It's not. It's premature. Because that doesn't happen till way later on. Ubeis Hill Omrim, no. You can recite the second chapter as well, which is B'tzeis Yisrael B'Mitzrayim Ad, which ends with Chalomish Lamayno Moed. Apparently Beis Hill says we're not going to split the first chapter from the second chapter, because this is the night of Geula, and we should be reciting both chapters insofar as we should be praising Hashem for the Geula. And the whole Geula is about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim is appropriate. We might be reciting Hallel at the beginning of the Haggadah, you know, way, way before Nirtza. Let's say Nirtza is about midnight, right? And Basil is not impressed by that. Basil wants to split Hallel according to L'Sha'avar and L'Haba. the old Geula and the future Geula. And the old Geula terminates with B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. We have to recite that chapter as well. Fine. So now we've gone through the whole of Magid. We recited Rabbi Gamliel's dictum on the three mitzvahs achila. We darshan the pasuk of Arami Ovid Ovi. We recited the first two chapters of Hallel according to Beis Hillel. What happens now? Says Rabbi Tarfon, I'm sorry, says the Brice of a Chosem Bigu'ula. What does that mean, Chosem Bigu'ula? So Rabbi Tarfon explains what that means. Every bracha requires a chasima. And he starts the bracha by saying, Asher Golanu V'Golas Avosenu. That's what Rabbi Tarfon fills in the missing blank. So let me read it like this. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Ga'alanu V'Galas Avoseinu Mimitzrayim. Period. And the Brisa records that Lo Hayachosem, there was no Chasima. Let me explain. There's something called a Bracha Ktsara, which doesn't get a Chasima. A Bracha Ktsara means a mono thematic bracha. No. What I mean to say is that the bracha itself, from beginning to end, has only one theme. Is that how you say it in English? Mono? I don't know. Maybe I'm misusing that word. And what's a bracha arucha? A bracha arucha has more than one theme. Has multiple themes. A minimum of two. And if you have a bracha that has two themes, it requires a chasima. So Rabbi Tarfon says there's only one theme in this bracha, and it's all about the geula, and therefore it doesn't require a chasima. However, Rabbi Akiva had a whole other part which he added to this bracha, and it's no longer praise, but rather petition. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kein Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu Yagienu Lemoadim Legol Macherim Avoyim Lekoseinu Shalom Svechim Etzem Vinyani Recha Sasim Bavadusecha Vinochal Shom Min Apzvachim Min Apsachim Baruch Ato Hashem Gol Yisrael. In other words, the chiddush here of Rabbi Akiva is that we have to add an element of tefillah and bakasha by asking Hashem to bring about the ultimate geula. And if that be the case, it now becomes multi-thematic. You have one theme, which is Geulas Mitzrayim, and you thank Hashem and praise Him for that. And now you have a supplication to God to bring about the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash and the ultimate Geula. Once we have a Matbea Aruch, and again, the word Aruch doesn't mean literally that it's long, it's not a matter of how long it is. You can have a short bracha in terms of words, but it's a bracha aruch al pidin if it has two different themes to it. So here we shift from hodaya to bakasha. And in doing so, we have to add a chasima, baruch ato Hashem, gal Yisrael. That's in fact our minhag like Rabbi Akiva. Now, if you'll ask me the following question, why does Rabbi Akiva require this multi-thematic bracha? What forces Rabbi Akiva to the position that it's not enough to thank Hashem for this glorious redemption, but that we also have to pray to Hashem for the future redemption? I think the answer lies in the following. There are two types of birchas Hashem. One type of birchas hashemach is on something that happened in the past. Now, you might say, well, the past is the past. It's gone. It's irrelevant now for the future. Doesn't matter. I still have to express my thanks because Hashem saved me. But then there's another dimension to shemach, and that is that man becomes aware of the fact that his situation in life is vulnerable. Like, for example, you remember there's something called a birchas hagomel. There are arba tzrichim lahodos. What's common to all four? They all experienced a salvation because they were all in what you would call a tzorah situation. Man becomes aware of how vulnerable he is, how much he's dependent upon Almighty God to save him. Now he has to add a tefillah and a bakasha. He has to say to Hashem, you know what? You saved me once from an eis tzara, but there's no guarantee that I will continue to exist. Give me some sort of sign of protection from future tzaras. And that's asher gol gmolanu misha gmolcha kol tuv v'gmolenu kol tuv sel.
That's for the future.
Correct. Hagomel chayvim tavos ikmalani kol tuv, but then we continue and we say kol tuv sela. That kol tuv sela is already adds another dimension, and that's tefillah. Because once I become aware of the fact that there's an eis tzara and how vulnerable I am, I have to pray to Hashem that just like He saved me in the past. So that's why we say shalasa nisim lavosenu bayomim ahem bazman hazeh. That just like kishem that you did nisim for our ancestors in the past, you'll do nisim and it flows for us in the future. So let me just take a look for a second at modim, or I mean, we all know it by heart. And what do we say in modim? Is there any sort of a bakasha there in modim? Let me just see. Hatov ki lo chol rachamecha Vamrachem kilo samu chasadecha me'olam kivinu lach. I have a suspicion here, I can't promise, that this is an additional element here in the bracha. And if not for the fact that it's part of Shmon Esrei, which gives it the status of a bracha smucha lechavrato, which is not posech bebaruch, and if it's linked to the next bracha, it's not chosei bebaruch, this bracha would require not just a psicha, but also a chasima as well. Why? Because it's hodah with an element of bakasha to it.
Modim Dalabaran is very clear, you have the past and the future.
Take a look at this. V'al kulam yisparach, v'yisromam shimcha, v'chalachan yuducha selo, v'alu shimcha v'emes. It's all about Hallel. And then we had four words. Hakel Yeshua Seinu, v'ezra Seinu selo. Selo means for all eternity. That God, you're always our Yeshua and our Ezra. And that perhaps might be an element of bakasha. So anytime we get into a tzara situation, a tzara, we have to always add to our praise, Hashem continue to do so. Let's take a look at the bracha of Hashkivenu at the end of Lefanel, at the end of Birchas Kriyat Shema Lefanel. Hashkivenu Hashem Elokeinu, right? So we just finished saying the bracha of Gal Yisrael. And then we say... For the future, am I right? I hope I'm not misleading you. Hashkiveinu Hashem from Soleni Sukkah Shlomecha Hagein Ba'adeinu Haser Me'aleinu Oyev Derev Cherev. It's the greatest supplication you can imagine. Shmar Tzei Seinu Veinu L'chaim L'Shalom Me'atov Yad Olam Baruchat Hashem Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. You know, as we're expressing our thanks to Hashem because on a daily basis He protects us, gives us life. Hagein Ba'adeinu, but at the same time we're asking Hashem to give us Shmirah, Hashomer Es Am Yisrael, Shmar Tzei Seinu Veinu. We're asking God to protect us. And the Gemara says in Brachas, how are we allowed to recite Hashkivenu? We have a mitzvah of Smichus Gula Tefillah. The Gemara answers, it's a Gula Richta. What does Gula Richta mean? It means part of the Gula is that Hashem should protect us. So it's not enough that God took us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, where do we go out of Mitzrayim? We ended up in the wilderness. That's not a very pleasant place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords Shmira. So the Shmira itself is the culmination of Gula, if you follow my point. Okay. Omar Rava. Rava says, as adding a comment to Rabbi Gamliel, that it's not enough that a person sees himself as if he goes out of Mitzrayim, and as if he describes the mitzvahs, but rather, Sorech Yomar, he has to recite the pasuk V'yosanu Hotzi Misham. He's got to recite this pasuk. It means that when you recite a pasuk in Chumash, it adds a certain experiential level to it. If you take a look at the Rashbam here, which is on line 3, he says, Tzorch sheyomer pasuk zeh v'yosanu hotzi misham, shetzorch laharos es atzmo ki luyotza misham, sha'af osanu goal HaKadosh Baruch. So this pasuk really indicates and declares, osanu hotzi misham, we. That it's not that our ancestors went out of Mitzrayim, but we too went out of Mitzrayim. And if you look in the Torah R here, he tells you where that pasuk is. And he says that pasuk is in Dvarim Perek Vav. Omar Rav Matzah Tzorech Lagbia. When you recite the Matzah Zushan Ochlam Al Shuma, we have to show it to the Mesubim, that's part of the Chibuv HaMitzvah. And Mara Tzorech Lagbia also, we have to say Mara Al Zeh. But when we get to the Basar, which today we have the Shnei Tavshilin, one of them is Zeichel Pesach, if you remember, the other is Zeichel Chagiga, ain't Tzarech Lagbia. There's no need to lift them up, because, what do you mean, Basar Zeh? I mean, Basar Zeh would mean Karban Pesach. You can't point to it and say this is Basar Pesach, because today we're not makdish anything, and we can't shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, and we certainly can't eat it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Below Od, Elam, furthermore, Nireh, Shenireh Ka'ochel Kodshim Bachutz. Not only is it unnecessary, but it's even prohibited. If he declares Pesach Zeh no Ochlim, then he's calling it a Pesach, and the Kriya Shein Pesach makes it into Kedushas Korban Pesach. And that we're not allowed to do. We're not allowed to slaughter a Korban Pesach today. And we cannot eat the Korban Pesach today. And now we get to the sugi of Suma. So we have, what, about 3-4 minutes left? Yep. Okay, I'm going to try to zip through this sugya, and that's where we'll end.
Are we meeting next week?
That's up to you. I mean, you have to, if you can, let's kind of leave that question. We'll have to see. Omar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Suma potu milomar agoda. According to Rav Acha, a blind person is exempt from Haggadah, even though he's chayiv in other mitzvahs, but he's not chayiv in the mitzvah of Haggadah. And why is that? Tichsiv hacha, because the pasuk says, "V'igadat l'bincha b'yom u'leimar b'avur zeh asal Hashem li." And Rav Acha has a kind of gzeira shava. I'm not sure if it's a full-fledged gzeira shava, but similar to gzeira shava. Ksiv hasam in the Parsha ben Sora Mor, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Darshins, that it says Bineinu v'yomru, the father and the mother come to Bezdin v'yomru l'ziknei yair Bineinu zeh Sora Mor. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes that the word zeh means they have to be able to point to their child, and Mala Halan Prat l'suma. If the one of the two parents is blind, then there's no parsha of Ben Sora Morer, because v'zeh means you have to be makir, you have to recognize your son with a re'iyas einayim. Afkan here too, and it says bavur zeh, the same word zeh with regard to Yitzias Mitzrayim, prat l'suma. The suma is not obligated to Yitzias Mitzrayim, just like he, as a father, would exempt his son from Ben Sora Morer. So Gemara says, "Eini, is that so?" For Amar Meremar, Shal Sinu l'Rabban and Debei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was blind, and we asked Rav Yosef, "Man Amar Agada to Debei Rav Yosef? In your house, who recites the Agada? Because he can't be motzi other people in the Agada if you yourself are potur." Amar Rav Yosef, "Man di Amar Agada to Debei Rav Sheish." That's a good Jew answers one question with another question. Rav Sheish was also blind. Who recited the Agada at the table of Rav Sheshes? Omru, they said to him, Rav Sheshes. So it means that a blind person is obligated in the mitzvah of Sipri Tzitzis Rahim, because Savri Rabbanon, Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes disagree with Rav Acha, and they hold Matzah Bizman Hazer Dirabbanon. Sorry, Matzah Bizman Hazer is Dirabbanon, and therefore the Pasuk Bavur Zer, which excludes the Suma, is no longer applicable, because matzah is not applicable. So we're taking the word zeh from matzah and using it to pater up the suma from Tzipi Tzisrayim, but matzah bizman is only drabbanon.
I think matzah is
doraisa. Well, I have 10 seconds to convince you that matzah is doraisa. Michlal, says the Gemara, the Rav Acha bar Yaakov sovar matzav izman hazeh d'oraisa. So nafkamina by the matzav izman hazeh d'oraisa d'rabbanon is whether a suma is obligated. If you hold the matzav izman hazeh d'oraisa, then a suma is potter, because then this gzeir shavim zezeh that we derive from Ben Somer is applicable. But if on the other hand you hold that matzav izman hazeh d'rabbanon, then you have to drop the ball on this zezeh, and therefore a suma is obligated in the mitzvah of Sipi Tzrayim. That's why Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef recited the Haggadah on behalf of those who were there. And we paskin that Matzav Bizman says Doraisa, and therefore Sum is Potter, like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. For Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who the Omer Matzav Bizman says Rabbanon? The answer is, Kasavar, Kol the Tiku Rabbanon, Ke'ein Doraisa Tiku, that we establish a Rabbanon the same way that we establish a Doraisa. Therefore, since on a Doraisa level, a Suma will be potter from Haggadah based on the Gzeira Shava, then when the Rabbanon institute and establish Bizman HaZeh a Chiyuv Rabbanon of Matzah, they will do it in the same pattern like the Doraisa, therefore Suma is potter. Okay then? Let's open the door and see if they're ready for Meirav. I don't know. I don't have a clock that's accurate. Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef Nami, Bavadi Kol Tikun Dei Drabbanon Tikun Hochi Hashta Eich Efshal Damosa Mechlesheni Bishlei Mahosa Midahavil Mitav Bineinu Ze Bineinu Hu Bineinu Ze Shmamina Pratlus Sumu Dos Aval Hocha Ilav bavur zem my lichtiv. El bavur matzu mar hudi asa. So he doesn't have the drasha of zem. So that's the sugya of suma, and that leads us to the end of Kuf Tes Zayin on the base, except for Lefifa Hanachu Chayovim and Kuf Yud Zayin on an Aleph. So basically, that's where we're up to Kuf Yud Zayin. The majority, I would say 80% of what's left in this parak is Agadita, some beautiful Agadita, but not necessarily relevant to the Leil HaSeder.